So welcome back to Channel 9 Live. This is John Papa here. We're going to do a nice half hour. We just followed up Silverlight TV. Nice half hour on gaming with Silverlight and Windows Phone. Basically, to talk about a lot of features we got. We had a lot of great announcements today here at Mix during the keynote. We had a fantastic keynote. I mean, things were really great. And I got some wonderful guests here. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves one at a time.
Okay, my name's Rob Miles. I work at University of Hull teaching students, twisting young minds and crushing dreams. But I also do a lot of X&A stuff, and that's where I come from.
Twisting minds and...
and crushing dreams,
that's it. And if I can interrupt real quick, let everybody know, too, as well. You can ask questions with Rob and all of our guests here, myself, about gaming. Please tweet them to #Channel9Live, CH9Live. Please send them up on Twitter. We will check them out and read them off as we go. And Brian, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah. I'm Brian Hudson. I'm a program manager on the X&A Game Studio team, and I work a lot with Windows Phone on the features that we have available for game developers there.
Great. So you know quite a bit. We'll lean towards you about what's coming and what's out and how this whole thing works.
Huh? Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Brian. And we've got a special guest down here in the end today.
Hey, I'm Brendan Foy. I'm a freelance digital artist. I'm also the creator of the We Love Windows Phone 7 ad and the new Mix WP7 ad.
So that was aired today
in
the keynote. So if you haven't watched the keynote, you definitely want to check out this video. Or, conveniently, we have something airing in the background right here now that you put together. So what did it take to put this together?
It took a lot of determination and passion.
That's a lot. So how did you get involved in doing this?
This ad or the first ad?
In the ad itself, yes.
Okay, this ad, a friend of mine, Nick, actually met with Ben Lower Microsoft at GDC, and he showed him my first ad, the We Love WP7 ad, and Ben loved it and told him to get in contact with me, and got in contact with Ben, and we just...
And you got hooked up with Mix, and the rest is history, and you were one of the lead-ins for Joe's keynote this morning. That's pretty awesome, though. Yeah. That's pretty great. So that's awesome, so thanks for coming on, Brandon.
Thank you.
Do you write a lot of games for Windows Phone as well?
Sorry?
Do you write games for Windows Phone too?
No, I haven't done any game developing for Windows Phone. However, when I was in university, I did do a game. I was lead artist for a game called Alien Antics. It was like a platform.
What was the name of the game, sorry?
Alien Antics.
Oh, cool, cool, Alien Antics.
Yeah.
Great, so cool, great. Well, everybody put their questions in again for Windows Phone gaming. We got #Channel9Live. We're here to talk to some experts. We got Rob, who's determined to crack me up sometime today, too. I'm glad we're sitting down, because the last time I met Rob, he's a good 3 feet taller than I am, I think.
Absolutely. Quality and quantity. That's what you get with me.
And quantity. So please, send your questions in at #Channel9Live. Don't make me laugh that hard.
So, Rob, you already gave one session here at Mix on X&A, right?
I did. It was absolutely superb.
And what was the title of your session?
It was... X&A for danger, excitement, and fun and profit, or something like that.
Danger, excitement, fun, and profit.
Oh, yes, and we had a lot of all of those things. When the projector failed at the beginning, that was the danger bit, but it came back, and we had excitement, and we won prizes, and we called out cheese. It was very nice. The Mix audience is the most tech-savvy one I've ever had, in that the room was full of programmers. I got questions about design patterns, the best way to optimize the code, right out of the box. Lovely stuff.
That's great. So you took a lot of questions as you went along the way as well. No, and if everybody else wants to watch that session, Danger is all I could hear out there. Robin Danger keeps coming across.
That's me.
But check out for Rob Miles' session. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yesterday, 11:30.
Yep. And you can check that out on... What kind of games are you guys looking for?
Well, I mean, the more the merrier. I mean, the great thing about the mobile platform is that it's just so accessible. So if you have a good idea, you can take our tools and get from zero to game pretty darn quickly, like Rob showed off in his session. I mean, he started with just a blank slate and had something running, you know, in a matter of minutes. And one of the really exciting things that we're talking about at this conference is a new feature that we're going to put out on the Mango version of Windows Phone that comes out later this year, allowing developers to use both Silverlight and X&A graphics in the same application, which is just really, really great, because developers starting on the platform today have to make a choice. You know, am I going to write Silverlight or am I going to write X&A?
And why did we have to make that choice before? I mean, not why, but What was Silverlight good for? What kind of games was XNA good for?
Well, Silverlight is just really great at writing applications that look like natural extensions of the phone OS. You know, you've got panorama controls and pivot controls and buttons that are themed just like the operating system. And Silverlight is just so great for developing UI and giving you the visual design experience, whether it's in Blend or Visual Studio. And XNA is much lower level than that. And so if you're writing a game, you might want to use XNA in order to get the rich graphics features.
And the performance.
But as soon as you want to start writing UI, you kind of find yourself with this blank slate, and it's, you know, well, time to roll up my sleeves or find out if somebody else wrote
a framework.
And
you could do the UI with XNA, but
yeah,
if you got it Silverlight there with you, it's a lot easier just to use that.
Right.
That
and so we think it's going to be just a really compelling set of tools that developers can now use to deliver apps that previously just took so much more work.
So that was a pretty exciting announcement today to talk about that integration. So how does that integration benefiting people now?
I think it's going to reduce the cost and time it takes to do some of the game development tasks. You know, you might put a lot of work into your game engine, and you've got, you know, your lights and your models, and maybe your, you know, if you're doing a racing game or whatever, you put so much time into making that game fun, and then when it comes time to do what sometimes game developers look at as the drudgery of making your menu system and all of those things.
Sure, they want to do the fun stuff. They don't want menus and start and play and save your game.
So I think that's going to be a really big benefit. And being able to use, like I said, the Visual Studio Designer for XAML and Blend and things like that, I think game developers who are all about code are now going to be able to invite designers into their you know, kind of development process and say, here's some tools that you can use that I didn't have to write.
Absolutely.
And we can be productive together and just build better apps.
So I want to talk to Brandon a little bit, too, about some design and some and kind of the artistic side of building the games, too. But before we do that, quickly, we've got more Twitter questions coming. Claude's going to read some of these real now from all of you guys, because I have my own questions too. But we've got #ChenLineLive. Please send your Twitter questions along. And from, on Twitter, Oivindmal, I heard something about XNA and Silverlight apps for the phone. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I pretty much just spoke to that, but we are basically allowing users to use the XNA graphics APIs within a Silverlight app. So when you know, I'm going to talk to this tomorrow in my whole talk that I'm giving on this. But
what's the title of your talk tomorrow?
The title of my talk is actually What's Coming in the XNA Framework for Windows Phone. So it's a little bit more generic sounding. I'm going to be talking very much about Silverlight and XNA
together. But it's really Silverlight and XNA integration.
That's what I'm going to be talking about. Yeah, and so my, you know, covering it in general, you're going to write a Silverlight app, and then you can take an XNA graphics device and get your hands on that within that app now. So that's kind of the world that we're coming to. It's not adding Silverlight into an XNA app. You're taking a Silverlight app, and you can use XNA within that.
Yeah, and we saw some examples of that, too, with the non-phone stuff with the 3D demo that we did in Silverlight today, where we were taking advantage of the XNA libraries right inside Silverlight. So it goes both ways. Great. And another Twitter question here. We've got MD Talk. Hey, guys. How you doing? Will WP7 Silverlight developers be able to use a user's avatar via XNA in our apps, or is it Xbox games only? So can they use, like, if I'm playing on Windows Phone 7, will my avatar, which has hair, by the way, show up on the Windows Phone 7?
Yes, the avatars definitely will be there on Windows Phone 7. As was mentioned in the tweet, Xbox games are the only ones that can actually use avatars programmatically in their games, and we're not announcing anything new about that, so that's still going to be the situation moving forward.
Cool. Yeah. You know, the avatars are one of the biggest reasons that I like using Xbox, so that I can actually look like I'm younger these days, so works for me.
So, my avatar's quite tall, but then it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
If you want to, you can download your avatar image or anyone's from the Xbox Live site very easily if you want to do that, and then you can pull it into an XNA game by bringing it in as just a stream from the website. So if you do want to actually use your picture in your game, that's actually very easy to do.
The static picture?
I've actually blogged that on robmiles.com. If you have a look down there, it's actually how to do it is out there.
And there you have it, robmiles.com. You
Absolutely.
Can check out
the
how
first
to download
plug of the
your
day.
Avatar.
Yeah.
First plug of the day. Won't be the last, though. So talking about building some of the games and some of the design for it, what goes into, when you start building some of these things, what goes into putting the design together for this?
First and foremost, concept. You have to have a strong concept, and you have to have a strong idea. That comes from the...
So it's not about the technical at all. It's all about the concept, huh?
Well, it is. By getting your concept out the way, you can see what goes into the technical. You know? And you don't want to bite off more than you can chew.
Sure.
No, absolutely.
I agree.
Sometimes,
with that.
You know, you have what I've even dealt with is with doing the game as well from when I was in university was having so many ideas, but not enough tech for it. So you have to strip all that down.
So you put all your ideas on the drawing board. You figure out which one's the core to the theme you're trying to build and the concept. And then kind of weed out the rest and figure out what's your scope.
Yeah, I typically like to use sort of like the three-pillar method.
The three-pillar method.
Yeah, you have your core idea for your gameplay, you know, and then you have your two supporting cores. And then you go from there. And if you have room at the end, then you can shuffle some other little things.
So it really is, there's a lot of parallels to building any kind of good software design. It's just what you're actually thinking about is the concept for the game and what you're going to, what are you trying to achieve with this game? Because some of the games, it seems like the best games are sometimes the simplest that are out there. We had some new games we announced today that Joe and the team showed off as well. Want to talk about some of those, Brian?
Yeah, I can't remember everything he mentioned, but the one that was definitely very noticeable in the keynote was Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
That we're excited to see land in the Xbox Live portfolio, so
and
I'm looking forward to it.
And the looks pretty darn awesome.
Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff there. We don't just have games as well too. We got apps that are really great. Like the Kindle app is one of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. I had a Kindle for a while and I used it for many years, and then once with Windows Phone 7, I started using that. And I tell you, the text clarity on that is great.
Yeah.
And the speed on that, we had an update for that as well. I think Jaime Rodriguez showed some of that today during the keynote.
Yeah.
So, again, to answer some more questions here from you guys, I got plenty of mine, but if you guys have any others, please, hashtag CH9Live, tweet your questions in. We got the experts here, the infamous Rob Miles, who has a session up, and Brian Hudson and Brandon Foy. So put your questions online, and we will go ahead and move forward to those.
I wanted to talk a little bit more about the game design stuff, too, because I spend so much time thinking about what developers want for building games, and I've written some games on the side for myself as well, and it can be so tempting as a developer, in that position, to find some new technology that's really exciting and say, oh, look what I can build with this, and then I put it in the game. And, I think Rob was talking to me yesterday about some of his students who were trying to fix a couple of bugs in one of their competition entries for, was it DreamSpark,
We have this thing in Hull called Three Thing Game. That's threethinggame.com.
We
give the students three things and say, make a game for that in a week. And at the end of the week, we have a 24-hour coding session. Say, okay, take your ideas and make them fly. Mm. And the teams that say, we had a great meeting, we've had six new ideas for gameplay, they're the ones that fail. The teams that have a great meeting, we've made two things work, they're the ones that succeed. Because, as you were saying, you can drown in ideas.
That's absolutely a great point.
You find out what your game's about, and you defend it to the death.
Going back to a game like, say, Angry Birds, and even going back to what I was talking about, Three Pillars, you look at Angry Birds, and it's very simple gameplay.
Yeah. Very simple. The concept is very simple. Yeah. Shoot birds at objects.
Yeah, and then they impress upon that with different abilities that the birds have. You
have
some that splits, and then you have some that fly through, and a bomb bird.
Yeah.
So you get a simple idea, you get an idea that works, and that somebody can just, if a five-year-old can play it, if a four-year-old can play it, and if it's fun.
And the great thing about it, too, is once you put out a game and it's successful and it works, you can always add or update the game and move forward with it.
Exactly.
So get the game out there in a great condition.
Yeah. And the other thing is get people to play it who have no interest in whether you like it or whether you like it. Mum loves it, it must be good.
Yes.
It's rubbish. Yeah. If someone you've never met before likes it, then you're on to something.
Exactly.
So don't get high on your own supply. Don't think, I made it, my dad likes it, it must be great.
Yeah.
It's when people you've never met say, that's really good, I want to play
it. So don't trust your mother and father, trust strangers.
They like you too much. That's the trouble, they like you too much.
Yeah, early user feedback is just so important and helps drive your game design forward and find out if you've just got some fundamental usability issues. I remember being kind of around the Kinect team when they were doing some of their user research and stuff, and it's so hard when you watch people pick up your technology and you want to say, go try this, you're doing it wrong, go use that instead. And with Kinect, it was so important for the success of that product for them to just stay silent, wait for someone to walk up, see them struggle with it, go, how do I select this? And then they make some tweaks and just ended up really delivering something awesome that can be applied in so many ways, like we saw in the keynote this morning.
It was amazing. And the games that came out with Kinect were just amazing. I know my six-year-old walked up to Kinect after I purchased one, and it was amazing how within about, I think it took her maybe 45 seconds to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And for that to be the case, it took me about 3 minutes. But that says I'm not as smart as she is.
Took me about like an hour.
You know, mine's in the box.
My daughter isn't quite 4 years old, and she will watch me play that thing, and she will be standing on the side of the living room and just wave her hand, and she just wants it to work for her. And, you know, there is a minimum height for Kinect, I think.
Yes.
And I got so desperate. I put her up on our coffee table in front of it and got it to kind of, you know, recognize that she was doing stuff, and she was playing Kinectimals. She loved it. So it's just amazing how much people love that product.
So this world of XNA and gaming is really starting to merge and combine and bleed over. We got the Kinect, we've got XNA, we got Silverlight, we got Windows Phone 7. It's really coming to be a strong story. We've always had Xbox, not always, but it's a really good story. We got a lot of stuff going on. So other games, what other games have been coming out that you guys are really interested in?
Dragon Age 2. I'm a big RPG fan. I love RPGs to death, and that's my thing. So Dragon Age 2, I can't really think of any other ones. Wouldn't be fair for me to say Mass Effect 2. But.
Mass Effect 2? And why wouldn't it be fair?
Because it's just like Dragon Age, it's in the future. So.
Exactly. But that's cool. We all like to play different kinds of games. Me, I'm more of a quick game, in and out kind of guy. Like, mm-hmm. I'm an Angry Birds type person. Or one of my favorites is by a good friend of mine, Keith Padden. K. Padden, he put up there, I think he's from New Zealand, actually. I met him. He put the Alpha Jacks.
Oh, yes. So I didn't recognize the name, but I do love that.
Yes. I've actually beat him online at nice. Alpha Jacks. So if anybody out there wants to play me at Alpha Jacks, I'll take you on.
So speaking of user feedback, I was playing one of my coworkers in Alpha Jacks, and I used all my letters, you know, and I tacked onto the end of his word, so I ended up getting a really, really huge score, and then he canceled the game. And I was so angry because it didn't post my score at the end,
oh,
and
really?
I thought I might be able to get up on the high scores list, but because he resigned the game, I didn't get my high score.
When you resigned the game, didn't go? Oh, man, we'll have to talk to him about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was one of my feedback on as well, is how many games you get. The nice thing about that is you can play 30 games simultaneously. I think it's 30 simultaneously with Alphajax, which sometimes I do, because I'm crazy like that. So.
Must be, yeah.
But what makes a game like this successful, Rob? I mean, what makes a successful game?
I think a big chunk of it's word of mouth.
Word of mouth?
And yeah, getting a buzz around it. Yeah. I think that's, if you can crack that one, then you really are getting somewhere. And that means you basically have to promote it like crazy everywhere you can and release regular updates to keep it up the charts. Yeah.
Releasing updates is big on it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And just keep it rolling forward and build a story. And then away you go.
I think that's good, because some of the best games, some of them have different qualities. Some of them have really great graphics. Others are really great storyline,
right.
And other ones are more, they're less playing and more like the Alpha Jacks, where it's more thinking or mental that you're doing. So it's really, I don't think there's any one prescription for a successful game that's out there. Cool. So I want to make sure everybody knows again, you can tweet to questions to us. Rob has written several games and teaches many people how to do a lot of the stuff. We've got hashtag ChannelNineLive, sent that up on Twitter, hashtag ChannelNineLive. And Rob, you had a great series on Channel 9 a couple months ago.
Oh, yes. That was the Windows Phone Developer Training stuff.
Windows Phone Developer Training, which was around the PDC time frame, I think, last year?
We did it. We recorded some in Bellevue around July, September time, and then we put them out around PDC time.
And what did this training do for people?
Well, it basically got them started with the phone. Myself and a guy called Andy Wigley did the stuff live. But it was recorded and made into video packages
in
as well.
In our studios, yeah.
And it was absolutely hilarious. We had over 1,000 people in a live meeting watching us do our stuff.
Nice.
And we were cracking bad jokes.
Yes, I watched those.
And giving away private jets. And it all rolled really nicely. And the enthusiasm out there. We did this thing where you change the seat color of your thing to answer a question. And watching the seats just go all to yellow to give the right answer was just everyone's out there watching and paying attention. And it was great.
So not only did you record this, and it was recorded now, obviously. Yeah. Not live now doing it, but it's not only recorded. But when you did it, it was all live. So you had thousands of people watching you actually ask and answer?
Yep. It was scary stuff, but it was great fun.
And that just wasn't just XNA, that was also just Windows Phone in general?
There was a big story on Silverlight, tombstoning, all the stuff you need to know to take a program idea from the idea to the product.
So a good question for you. Tombstoning is something we've had a lot of conversations about with building Silverlight apps. When building games, it's just as important.
It is.
When you're doing tombstoning. So let's give us a scenario where, for those who aren't maybe not familiar with it, you're in the middle of the game, you know, you want to go back and check your email. You want to jump out for a minute and, oh, gosh, I've got to go to Channel 9 Live. Where do I got to go to? How do you actually deal with the tombstoning in gaming?
It's basically to do with events. you get told stuff is happening to your phone. I think some people sell it as a kind of stateful thing, but actually it's not. Your program is just told, hey, you've got to go to sleep now. Hey, you've just been woken up from the start, or you've been woken up from a back button. You just have to respond to those in a sensible way. And as long as the thing is, put your behaviors in for saving your state at the start of your game build. Do not think, I've written the game, now I have to figure out how to store all the gameplay objects, because if you do that, it'll kill you. But if you put it in as you build the components, how is this going to store its state? Does it have to store its state? Is it background graphics? Yeah. Do I care where the clouds are?
Tombstoning is something, it's definitely beneficial up front to think about how you're
going to do this. Absolutely, you plan for it in advance.
The thing that I tell people, we don't like to think about this, but honestly, phones, people drop their phones, the battery can fall out of phones. Yep. You have to realize that the phone is such a dynamic platform that your game could go away at any point.
Yes.
And so especially if you have a really big game, sometimes some of our Xbox Live titles, if they tried to save all of their state in response to that event, it would just take too long. And so what they actually do is keep track of where you are throughout the game, a lot like on the console, and they're just saving constantly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you play like The Harvest and you get out of that game and come right back, they just do a fantastic job of putting you right back where you were. And so what I say, while in practicality, probably less than 1% of users actually have this happen, but I like to tell people, just pretend that the battery's going to fall out of the phone almost at any time.
Yeah.
And there are some games on our platform that just pick up right where they left off.
Things like Harvest, because you could be through a level that's 30 minutes long,
and
you're 25 minutes through. If it didn't save as you went,
That
would upset you.
A lot of time, right?
That is a beautiful game, by the way, The Harvest.
It's gorgeous.
And that was one of our first games, I believe, that we put out there. Harvest, you have to check it out. So we do have a question up here. Somebody had tweeted off to hashtag GentlemanLive from Slines. Any plans to support or encourage more individual indie development?
That's a tough one. I mean, I don't work as much on the business development side or work with the game developers and publishers, really. I'm very much focused on the technology. I'll try and answer the question to say that we have a really, really great resource through create.msdn.com.
Yes.
And I think someone mentioned in the talk the other day that there is an email address at Microsoft that if you feel like you have a really great game, you can email your idea to them. And obviously, if they think it's a great idea too, they'll get back to you and consider you for Xbox Live on the phone.
And I'll toss out there as well, if anybody has any questions or ever wants to put any game together and they don't know how to go about it or they really want to get a good concept, you can always email some of us here too at Microsoft. I mean, I'll give my email out too, john.pop@microsoft.com. I can get you in touch with Brian and his team. We can always hook you in with the team, guys like Brandon and Joe, to get things going.
So yeah, we've just got a lot of really, really great resources, and the phone platform is just so accessible that I think that by itself is really encouraging to indie dev. You know, the entry fee is like $100, I think, something like that. And if you're a student, it's free.
It's free,
It's right.
So,
it's free,
I mean, there are a lot of ways that we're encouraging
people. So go back to school. Stay in school.
Free tools, too, right? So, yeah.
Free tools, free food, free beer.
No excuse.
No excuse to do all this. That's great. There's a lot. I know a lot of some of the best apps are actually coming out of not the big houses. I mean, they've got some great apps, but there's also a lot of individual developers who put some really nice things out there to keep moving on with this. So we have to run out of time here. You guys, great job today with this. Thanks a lot, Rob. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having
Brandon.
Us.
And thank you all for your questions. And have a good one.